right, amen. We're going to continue series Seven Deadly Sins tonight. Last week we talked about pride. Tonight we're going to talk about covetousness. Covetousness. Covetousness is the spirit of greed, and it may bring about a spiritual death unless there is repentance. In your Bibles, Luke chapter 12, we're going to read verse 13 to 21. Luke 12, 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward Merriam-Webster says this about covet: to wish for earnestly, covet an award, to desire what belongs to another, inordinately or impotently. In the scripture, many times, folks, the word as covet or covetousness is often defined as being greed for riches. Man by the name of Dr. Hayden Robinson said this, Covetousness is simply craving more of what you have enough already. And the last of the Ten Commandments, as recorded in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, Exodus 20, verse 17, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant or his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Neither, in Deuteronomy 5, verse 20, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, his maidservants, or his manservants, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Now that's not, when the Lord's talking about us, we're talking about our neighbors, it's not just who lives right next to you, it's all that are around you. Okay? These scriptures are clear. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife, his maidservants or maidservants, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Do not covet those. Don't say, I wish I had one of those. You see, the root meaning of is a strong desire for wealth or gain, in one word, greed. Covetousness is basically the sin of materialism. Paul refers to covetousness or greed as being idolatry. He said in Colossians 3, 5, Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. See, idolatry is letting someone or something else become your God instead of Jesus Christ. When we covet things and we put them in the place of God, we are committing the sin of idolatry. See, covetousness is basically an inner motivation. It is an attitude of the heart. The 10th commandment warns us that we are not to desire any possession that belongs to our neighbor. Oh, I wish I had a house like theirs. Or I wish I had a relationship like theirs. Or I wish I had a car like theirs. Or I wish I had kids like theirs. You see, folks, God wants to bless us. But God doesn't want to bless you when you're constantly desiring something that he's blessed somebody else with. Because He gives you something. It may not be exactly what they have, and you're still not going to be happy with what God gives you. God may want to eventually get you to where your neighbors are or your brother or sister is, but he's going to do it a step at a time. When Scripture warns us not to covet anything that belongs to our neighbor, that encompasses a lot of territory. We might covet their status, where they're at in society, where they're at in leadership. We may covet that. We may covet their position, their power, their prestige, their popularity. That has been the besetting sin of many people throughout history, both in the secular and in Christianity realms. There's a story of Aaron and Miriam. They were Moses' older brother and sister. One day they decided to not submit to the leadership of Moses, their little brother. We're not going to do it any longer. And they wanted to be his equal. In other words, they were desiring his position, his prestige. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Hath he not spoken also to us?" And the Lord heard it. See, Aaron and Miriam were angry with Moses for marrying this Ethiopian woman and declared that they were on equal footing with him as a prophet and as a prophetess of the Lord. And they were leaders of Israel also. And they coveted his leadership position. And they wanted to share power equally with him. And the Lord, the Bible says, became angry with Aaron and Miriam and struck her with leprosy for 7 days. You see, we can be just as guilty as coveting the position or the power or prestige of a neighbor or brother or sister as we can of coveting his wife or his riches. So after Israel entered the promised land and early in the history of the church, God's people witnessed the destructive nature of the sin of covetousness. When Israel defeated Jericho, the Lord told them, he said, "I want you to destroy everything in the city because he declared Jericho an accursed thing. If they hoarded any of the material wealth of Jericho for themselves, the curse of Jericho would fall on them." And a man by the name of Achan of the tribe of Judah coveted a Babylonian garment for 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and hid them in his tent. You see, his disobedience angered the Lord. And as a result, when Israel first attacked the city of Ai, they were soundly defeated. And the Lord showed Joshua that Achan was the guilty villain. Achan confessed, "It is true, I am the one who sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel." In Joshua 7, 20, 21, and Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw the spoils of goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, silver under it." Coveting, folks, led Achan to steal material things God had commanded to be destroyed. And as a result, he suffered the death penalty, for all Israel stoned him to death. In the early days of the Jerusalem church, everything was held in common by the believers. In Acts 4, 34 and 35, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But this unscrupulous husband and wife by the name of Ananias and Sapphira sold some of their property. But because they coveted wealth, They kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Coveting led to lying to the apostles, and in reality to God himself. As a result, God struck them dead. Last week we learned that seven deadly sins are actually basic attitudes. They are motivating spirits in the human heart. That are the root of many of their sins. Because Achan coveted wealth, he stole. Because Ananias and Sapphira coveted material gain, they lied to God's servant and to the Lord himself. Covetousness is a deadly sin because it is so often gives birth to other sins. David, we know him as the man after God's own heart. See, because David had coveted his neighbor Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. He committed adultery. Basically, he raped her. And then he had Uriah, one of his soldiers, killed in battle. You see, he stole his widow Bathsheba by taking her to be his own wife. Covetousness is subtle and deceptive by nature. You see, we might not actually desire to take our neighbor's possessions, only to have similar or even greater ones ourselves, trying to outdo somebody else, trying to look better than somebody else. Covetousness leads us to keeping up or surpassing the Joneses. Well, if they have this, I don't have to have exactly what they want, but I got to have something better. Or if they're doing this, then I have to do it. Come on. You see, it's great when people give God the glory when they accomplish greatness, isn't it? All of our talents, all of our gifts bestowed upon us by God are nothing without God. Nothing without God. Colossians 3, verse 5 says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." You see, we said that covetousness or greed becomes idolatry whenever it leads us to making anyone or anything other than Jesus the Lord or the God of our lives. Covetousness may lead to idolatry. You see, folks, when a thing, whatever it may be, a thing becomes your God, Paul says in Ephesians 5:5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." If we let covetousness go unchecked, without repentance and seeking God's forgiveness, folks, it will destroy us spiritually. Because anyone who worships material things has no place in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Without repentance, without faith in Jesus, covetousness is indeed a deadly sin. There's a story by Bob James. He tells a story. He said, "I laid a small circle of poison around a hill of stinging ants. You ever seen those? When I was a young kid, we moved to North Carolina in 1976. My dad's out there putting the mailbox up, and he's standing there talking to the mailman when he comes by, and all of a sudden my dad started doing this jig. And here are those fire ants, they call them, you know, started climbing up his leg and biting them. So that's what I picture when I guess that's what he's talking about here, the stinging ants. And this man says, "I lay this small ring of poison around this hill of stinging ants." And thinking that the tiny granules of poison were food, the ants began to pick them up and carry them throughout their colony. He says, "I returned later to see how well the poison was working. And hundreds of stinging ants were carrying the poison down into their hill. Then I noticed a hole in the circle of poison. Some of the poison was moving the opposite way, away from the hill. Some smaller, not stinging ants had found this food and were stealing it from their ant neighbors. You see, thinking they were getting their other ants' treasure, they unwittingly poisoned themselves. When we see someone with more than we have, we must beware, folks. The hunger to beg, borrow, and steal our way into what is theirs may poison us spiritually. In Luke 12, verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. We must always be on a spiritual guard duty, folks, when it comes to covetousness and all kinds of greed. Abundance of possessions does not bring true happiness, and it must not become our consuming priority in life. Jesus admonishes, if we want to live in true joy, he said in Matthew 6, 19, 21, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We need to store up treasures in heaven, folks, and keep our hearts focused on eternal values. Amen? Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Amen. He also reminds us of the commandments in Romans 13, 9. He says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Those who love their neighbor as themselves, folks, they do not covet anything of their neighbors. Amen? You see, when we depend on God to enable us to love our neighbors as ourselves and to empower us to be content with what we have, we overcome covetousness. God, help me to love my brother and sister. God, help me to love my parents. Help me to love my natural family. Help me, God, to love my neighbors truly on either side of me, front and back of me. God, help me to love these people as I do myself. See, when you do that, amen, you will not covet. Don't let it kill you eternally. You see, by God's Spirit, love your neighbor as yourself. But be content with what you have. Don't let the poison of covetousness, the covetous spirit, the covetous attitude, don't let it poison your soul. Leave it at the altar. Amen. Place it under the blood of Jesus and yield it completely to God. Yield it to the Holy Spirit. Amen.